My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A made no lanes on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A made no lanes
on the track. Hey now, it's the Mike and JD show, and we're back on a Monday, man. This is our third Monday in a row. This one's my fault though, because We had a little bit of chaos in the house last night. Nothing like crazy, but it was just hard to get the kids down and all that. It became an issue. So we had to push, but we're back on a Monday. JD, you're back from Vegas. How you doing, man?
I'm okay, man. For those who don't know, I think Mike might have spilled the beans that I went back to the U.S. Open last weekend, and I wrestled in the Greco-Roman Masters division. And I got to the finals this year, and I proceeded to lose to a Israeli national who's now making his home in America. He's a multiple-time veterans-level world medalist. I lost to him 4-1, so it was a pretty close match. I kind of wrestled stupid. Like, I went back and looked at it. And I'm like, man, I could have done better. Like, I took myself down at one point in the match. Like, I was trying something that I didn't have to do. So I think I feel pretty good on the honesty coming back. Like, I wrestled better than I did last year. I was in better shape, better technique. So, you know, just got one little mountain I got to climb, and then I'm good. You know, I'm trying to get myself into that veterans world medalist spot myself eventually. So, it went good. I had a great time.
Well, that's good. So it was an Israeli, not a Russian. I was under the impression it was a Russian.
It was a Russian name. And then I looked the guy up, and he's actually from Israel. So,
oh, those guys in Israel are causing us a lot of trouble these days. So
I know they manipulate. He was the nicest guy I've ever like beaten. He was like, you're tough. You're so tough. You want to get picture? You get picture taken me afterwards. I'm like, sure, man. All right. No problem. You already beat me. Why not? But it was cool. This guy was super cool. So, hope to get another crack at him again someday.
Yeah, that would be good. Hopefully you get a chance to get back there in LA. Well, I mean, you just sign up. You can go back to Vegas every year, right? It's just an annual thing.
Annual thing. I'm going to go to the wheels fall off the bus. The world, yeah, I got an invitation to the world championships. It's currently scheduled to be in Jordan. So unless they move it, I don't think I'll be going this year because, you know, the whole thing in the Middle East and all, it's not really great at the moment.
Yeah, but, World War III could put a damper on going to Jordan. You know, WWE is still scheduled to go to Saudi in June. I'm skeptical that that's happening.
I would be very surprised if they were to do that, just at the state of world affairs right now. Yeah. I don't think it's a good move. It's not a good move for me. I think it's an even worse move for them. But I don't know, man. I think the world kind of fucking sucks right now, to be quite honest with you. And I think that things like wrestling and all of its forms and incarnations is very down the list of importance.
Yeah, for sure. Because we got WWE in Saudi, and then a TNA in Qatar was supposed to happen in May. That got pushed back to October now. So
Qatar.
But I've always called it Qatar. Even when I was there, like everybody on the base at God, what was the name of the damn base? Abu Dhabi, I think is what it was called. We always called it Qatar, but yeah, I guess Qatar would be a more appropriate way to say that. But
I think you're supposed to call it Qatar now. I've always called it Qatar too until recently, yeah. But I've heard on TV they say you're supposed to say Qatar. So they're the Qatari people. So are they the Qatari people? Qatari? I don't even know.
I've always called it Qatari. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, people are welcome to correct me on that. I'm usually wrong about stuff, especially when it comes to pronouncing like the proper names of countries and stuff like that. I'm usually pretty behind the times on all that.
Even once you've been to.
Yeah, even like, and I spent a lot of time there for sure in Qatar, I guess is what you would call it.
Qatar, yes. They bought our president a plane. Turned out to not be a great investment because now they have to rebuild their gas fields. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah, we're not going to get political on this show. We are talking free agency frenzy. The news broke on Friday night. WWE had mass releases. I really wanted to get into this last night. I talked about it on Friday night from more of a TNA perspective because that was the TNA podcast. But let's get the list. I got the full list in front of me. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give up the full list, and then we're going to go down the line. And, Chad, I want you guys to get in on this. We want to know where these people should go next. Like, where do we think they'll go, and where should they go? I think that would be a good way to break this down. But we're back. Free agency frenzy. We have not done one of these videos in a while.
About a year.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've done some on the TNA show. But you and I have not done one of these in a while. So
we do this about every year whenever TKO WWE makes their annual cleansing.
Yeah. 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 All right. So, yep. Friday, the WWE released several names from the main roster as well as NXT. We'll start with the top. The biggest name on the list would be Aleister Black. Some would say Kairi Sane, but I guess for this show it'd be Aleister. Zelina Vega as well. They're a couple. They both got released
again.
Kairi Sane, the Wyatt Six. That's Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy, Eric Rowan, Dexter Loomis, and Joe Wayne Gacy got released. So
Nikki Cross.
Yes, all six. Mm-hmm. Nikki Cross. Well, the Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. Santos Escobar, the former El Hijo del Fantasma, he got released. He just re-signed, got a big pay raise, tore his tricep, and they fired him. So, good old TKO, man. Zoe Stark, Apollo Crews, the former UHA Nation. Alba Fire, also known as Kaylee Ray on the Indies. Andre Chase from Chase University. I think he was like over for a little while.
He was. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Andre Chase is the former Harlem Bravado. Someone can correct me in the chat. He was an old school Evolve guy back in the day. Correct me, Chad, if I'm wrong, but I believe.
Yeah, Chad, what was Andre Chase's OG name before he went to the feds? And then developmental releases, Luca Crucifino. Sure, that's a person. Malik Blade, Trill London, Serena Linton, Howie Feltersnatch.
Mike Hunt.
What was the one that I tricked you on the other day?
Oh, I don't remember. There was a good one. I bought it. Hook, line, and
you
bought
it. Was a Craven Moorhead. Was what it was. Yeah. Sick. And you're like, man, what a name. These NXT names. I was like, bro, say the name out loud.
You got me with that one. Yeah.
Chris Island, the Lonely Island, Tyreek Igwe and Tyson DuPont of High Rise. I think those guys are intriguing prospects, actually. I've actually seen them a few times on TNA. But out of the developmental releases, I think the most interesting one is Tyra Mae Steele, who was the Olympic gold medalist wrestler.
Tamara Mensah-Stock.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's very interesting. So I have a poll, chat. If you could see the poll, it should be up in the chat. Should AEW bring Malakai Black back, the former Aleister Black, he was Malakai Black in AEW. He had at times a good run in AEW. Like, it started off hot. He was with Cody, and then he did the whole House of Black thing. House of Black was over for was sure. Over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had that run with Adam Copeland where he wanted to pass out instead of get pinned.
the only leave the cage match in the history of AEW.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's some people out there that think that he should go back. There's some people in AEW that think that he shouldn't. Yeah, MJF took to Instagram and posted a picture of a tweet or something like that from one of the kids from Max. I think it's Max from the fucking rapper group. What are they called?
Max
Anthony
Caster.
Bones. Max Caster. Anthony acclaimed. Bones. Yeah, they claimed. Yes, sorry, lost my brain for a sec. So we don't want them. And then Sean Dean replied to somebody that said we need, you know, bring in Malachi and Zelina Vega to reform the House of Black, and he just very emphatically just said no. So it looks like the people in AEW, at least some of the talent, including the world heavyweight champion or the former world heavyweight champion, who's probably the most influential guy on the roster, doesn't seem to think that's a good idea. But I want to get to the chat. And JD, what do you think? Should they bring him back?
Well, Big Hebrew, which I just adore that nickname that Max has given himself. It's awesome.
Yeah,
he's anti-Malachi. And I'll be honest with you, like Mike Gilbert pioneered the Malachi Black has a bad back injury so bad he can't lay down for 3 seconds joke, which I appreciated. I quoted every chance I get.
I think it spread so much that people think he has a legitimate back injury, and that's just a joke that I made up.
Yeah. It's great. I wouldn't bring him back because he was a troublemaker in the locker room. Like, he was one of those guys that came to AEW and thought he was too cool for school and didn't want to do jobs unless you were a former WWE guy on his level. Dude never really has been a draw anywhere. He's just been a, you know, reasonably successful mid-carder that kind of sniffs his own farts and thinks he's better than he is. I think he's more trouble than he's worth. I think Brody King has come out from underneath that shadow and is more over than he's ever been.
Yeah.
I don't like spooky wrestling gimmicks. So I don't want to see Malachi Black in AEW personally.
Yeah. So on Friday night, I was of the mindset that they probably would bring him back because they brought back Andrade, and Tony Khan seemed to have an affinity for him. He can wrestle. Like,
oh yeah, I don't know, no doubt.
He is good. Like, the guy can have good matches. And he's doing a spooky gimmick, but he doesn't do science fiction. Like, he doesn't do magic or anything like that. It's just a lot of like aura type stuff. So it's like, you know, he could do it. But then I saw what the wrestlers had to say, and I was like, okay, no, there's just no way. Like, the last thing that AEW needs is to bring another guy back into the company that's going to disrupt the locker room. And right now it seems like things are going well. I felt that way about Andrade, and I was wrong. He's come in and he's doing the best work of his career. But, you know, with this guy, with Andrade, none of the wrestlers were public saying they didn't want him back.
I mean,
they're public about Malachi, though.
Andrade punched Sammy Guevara in the face. But I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody who's ever watched AEW television just wanted to punch Sammy Guevara in the face. And Sammy Guevara, you know, kind of makes himself unlikable to a lot of people. So I think that was easier for people to excuse. And Andrade put a lot of people over in AEW. He did really, and I think there was Andrade did a lot of really good work on his way out of the company the first time.
Yeah.
Right. He was in that first C2. He put over a lot of guys. He had great matches. And it seemed like, I think at the time with Tony, because remember, Ric Flair is still under contract with AEW. So people don't realize that it still is. I think that it kind of helped smooth because at the time, Andrade was still married to Charlotte Flair. So I think that kind of helped smooth things over. Like, the story going around now is he's trying to fix his relationship, which kind of went south. And then it was, remember when Andrade had that speed title, he was posting pictures of himself with the TNT belt, calling himself a real Latino man. It very much seemed like he had like buyer's remorse immediately after coming back to WWE and being like, why did I do this? And so he seems ecstatic back in AEW. Like, he really does. He's doing some of the best work of his career. He's getting, like, MJF, speaking of MJF, making big dick jokes about him on Twitter. Like, he's finding a new side of his gimmick by, you know, taking his pants off and having, they find hot Latino chicks all over the country to do that, to do this gimmick with this rude thing with Andrade. It's working
great. JD, who in AEW, whose job is that to find them and to put those plants in the ground?
I'm hoping that's something Sean Dean's doing behind the scenes.
It's like, hey, you know, boss, I'll handle this job.
find the hot Latinas every town in America. No, I think Andrade is doing some of the best work of his life. And he's kind of, and but at the same time, we were kind of like, I don't know, because he had some ego issues, and he has really swallowed his pride and done some really great work. And to be fair, Tony has pushed him pretty hard. He did just put over Darby Allin. Like, he kind of got Darby ready to win the title. Like, he, him, Darby had, like I said, my favorite match on the show on the last pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And he really warmed Darby up for that title win. So Andrade's done great work. Malachi, does his ego change? Because Little Birdie told me he had some egos in the WWE locker room too.
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't know the day. I'm guessing it happened over WrestleMania weekend, but he just kind of walked out and, like, said, "I'm going home." And I don't know, like, the how accurate that whole thing is, but the person that I heard it from was pretty plugged in, I would say. It might not have been WrestleMania weekend, but it was, like, recently at an event. He just kind of, like, told everybody that he's leaving and then just went and left. And so he is no longer in the WWE. So it's like another guy that seems to be a bit of a malcontent. You know, he was really good in NXT. Aleister Black. He was really good. And when I saw him there, they first brought him in as Tommy End, and it was kind of like his tryout. And I was like, this guy's going to be a major star. Mm-hmm. Like, he's really good. And he's got aura. That guy, like, his kicks, the strikes look great. And mm-hmm. He was doing kind of a CM Punk, like a darker version of a CM Punk, you know, because the way he's sitting in the middle of the ring and all that stuff. So I was like, I think this guy's got a cool vibe. And then he comes in, they start pushing him real heavy as Aleister Black, and he's got the cool song, and he's got the great entrance, and he's running hot. And then he gets pulled up to the main roster, and Vince just didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's why he went to AEW with such fanfare, because it was, everybody saw it as more of a Vince problem than a Aleister Black problem that first time. But then he got over there, Vince leaves WWE or gets fired, obviously, because of all his bullshit. Triple H takes back over. Well, Triple H is the mentor, so now he wants to go back and work for Triple H. So now he's playing hardball with everybody. And it was kind of a bit of a pain in the ass for what, like 2 years, would you say? It was a long time.
I want to say, because remember we had that first time. Remember that first time they had the House of Black where he kind of did his goodbye in Chicago. And this is like 2023 that we thought he was checking out. And then, like, he did a live stream. He's like, oh, I'll be back in AEW soon, like 4 months later. Yeah. And then they had good matches. They had those trios.
They did.
But the reason why you can't program him in a top feud is because fucker won't lay down for anybody. Like, he won't do business with anybody who doesn't come from WWE. Like, it just, I don't know what you can do with him. And then, like, he goes back to WWE, excuse me, and, like, they kind of plugged him right in across the spot. So, by the way, if you and your wife work in WWE and they want to put you together, that's, the news is on, the writing's on the wall. They're going to get rid of you. Like, don't take the spooky gimmick with your wife. That should be everybody worried about that.
They did just plug him right into that Cross, because, like, Cross's contract was coming up, and Cross, you know, tried to work the media and to get him, like, a bigger contract. Like, he was, like, using all his friends in the media to start, like, these hashtags, we want Cross and all this stuff. And WWE, to their credit, didn't buy it. They just let the guy walk. And then they brought in Aleister Black back, and he slid right into that same slot. And I think people saw through it, and it just didn't work. And the guy just didn't have the juice anymore. So let me get to the chat. So chat overwhelmingly was saying, no, we do have some TNA fans in here. So I do want to know if they think that TNA should take a flyer on this guy, but we're going to keep it to AEW for now. Cubs losing 3-0 at the moment. Cubs suck. Sorry. For sure. Let's see. Who is anybody, man? Okay. Yeah. Shadow Lane says, no, they should not. Tactical Playmaker, no. Demon Walking, no. It's no. It says, they won't let me vote, but as long as he's not in TNA, I'll vote yes. Oh, he wants him to go to AEW so he doesn't come to TNA. That's all right. Kane Lake says, if I'm Carlos Silva and Tommy Dreamer, I make a play for Kyrie Sane. That's my first choice. My second choice is Zoe Stark and Alba Fire. Avoid Selena Vega and Aleister Black like the plague. Wow. So another one, Bored Blend, no. Okay, hold on. We do have somebody voting for TNA. It says Nicholas Riley. TNA might be the best place for Tia Is that Tia Trinidad? Is
Tia,
that what
Tia Trinidad? Yeah.
So that was right. That was her. She was Rosita for a little bit, and then she was Tia Trinidad, and then she became Selena Vega. And Tommy would be Tommy. And so, I don't disagree with this. Here's my explanation. TNA is lacking star power. Now, Aleister Black, not a draw. I think we all know that. But they don't have anybody in the company besides the Hardy Boys that are actual, like, legitimate draws. So what they need is, like, some type of star power to help out with some of these bigger events they got coming up. They're bringing back Lockdown. They're bringing back – they have another November pay-per-view. They're doing bigger arenas. JD, you remember I think it's the UIC Pavilion. Is that what it's called in Chicago? They're doing Lockdown there?
It's where WCW would run from like the late 80s to – it's actually where WWE started their run when they first broke into Chicago. They ran the University of Illinois Chicago Pavilion, and then WCW took it over. It's where Starrcade 87 was held, and then WCW moved out and eventually did the United States, the Horizon.
It's where the Flair Steamboat match in 89 happened.
Correct. Too. That is where that happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty historic venue. There hasn't been wrestling there in a long time. Well, TNA is going to try to run that for Lockdown. Now, is Aleister Black going to sell a ton of tickets there? Not on his own, but I think that if he's factored in, he might help out a little bit, because TNA needs all the help they can get at this point as far as star power wise. And plus with TNA, they sign these short-term deals anyway that are usually like low money deals. So if he really wanted to keep his career going and he wanted to do it on, you know, at a landing spot that won't hold him to a long-term contract, TNA is probably the place to go, and they're hurting for star power.
I'm curious to see how they do at the UIC Pavilion. That's a massive step up from, because they ran Cicero's. I think they ran Cicero the last time they were out
Cicero.
Here.
The last time they did was, I think they ran, so 2 years ago they were in Cicero. That was where the Hardys reunited. It was like in June.
That's a massive, massive step up. So I'm curious how that goes.
Yeah. The year before they ran 6 events in Cicero. So they did 23 and 24. And then they didn't go back to Chicago at all in 25. And now they're going back for TNA Lockdown. Lockdown, that's like, people have been wanting Lockdown to come back for a long time. I think that's a unique kind of a gimmick pay-per-view that, like, just the name, I think, is going to sell like a decent amount of tickets, like, to start off with. So they might actually have a good open once their on sale happens. I think it's like this week, actually, it goes on sale. So they might actually do well.
It could. I'm curious. I think the gimmick is a good way to come back into Chicago. It's just that's a much, much bigger venue. Cicero seems very small. It's intimate, but it's a great, the acoustics are great. It's a cool place for wrestling. The Pavilion's going to be interesting, man. That's a D1 basketball arena. It's a smaller D1 basketball arena, but a D1 basketball arena nonetheless. So
because they're probably going to aim for like 5, like aim for like 5,000, but, you know, say 6,500. So
if they could put 5,000 in the Pavilion, I would say that's a great day at the office for them.
Yeah, that's just my early read on the situation. I don't know what their goal is, but that would be like what I'm thinking. But
it's Chicago. It's not hard to get to. Like, people bitch about where AEW runs in Chicago because it's way out in the suburbs. It's where I'm from. So I mean, it's an interesting venue. It's a super interesting venue. I'm very curious. I want to put a plug in that and look back on that in time. But
we have plenty of time to talk about Lockdown. It's happening in August, so it's going to be ways away. But, you know, Aleister would be available for that show since it's happening in August, because his 90-day ends in July. But I just don't think that him alone and him and Selena alone would make a huge difference. They would have to bring them in with something else, because, again, like, while he's been on television since like 2017, you know, between NXT main roster, WWE, AEW, back to main roster. So he is like, got some TV notoriety. Yeah, a decade of TV. That's, you know, TNA does covet that. I just don't know if this guy's got the juice, man. And I think TNA would be the company that should take a flyer on him if he were even willing to.
Well, I saw someone say you should go to MLW. MLW already signed Killer Cross. So, I mean, I find that to be a bit redundant, although Aleister Black, or whatever you want to call him, Tom End, is a much, much better worker than Kim Cross. So, I think that's, I mean, look at this way. Nick Nemeth wasn't a draw. No. You know, and he's done very well for TNA. So I think that'd be a great move for them. I know he would like to stay in WWE's good graces because I think he's got that Matt Cardona. I would like to be in their orbit all the time.
Yeah.
And I know Tony's been pretty forgiving. I think there's just too much. It's obvious there's some bad blood there. And I think the only guy you take a big chance on with bad blood is Phil Brooks. The rest of them, you got to kind of.
I think if Punk wants to go back to AEW, like Tony does that, you know, like without hesitation, but Malakai Black, I think Tony would take him back because I think Tony likes him still. But I don't think he's going to do it if it's going to upset his roster, specifically if it's going to upset his biggest star in MJF, who is undoubtedly, I would say right now, like their top guy for sure. Yeah,
he's Flair. He's the player in the company right now.
Yeah, he is. Okay, so everybody says no on AEW. Mike is saying that TNA should. I don't think TNA will, but I think TNA should try to bring him in if they could. I just don't know that they, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know if they can afford it, like, straight up. I don't know what their budget's like, but.
You said this, but let's be real. What else is there?
Yeah, so, we had this discussion when Bray Wyatt got released years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And we were like fantasy booking because we were predominantly a TNA show. We were fantasy booking Bray Wyatt to TNA. And we're like, because AEW's not going to take them. And he's going to want to keep working. TNA would be the obvious choice.
Yeah.
And then what did he do? He ended up not going anywhere. So
I sat for like a year.
Yeah, I could see Aleister Black doing something like that. Like I could see him seeing TNA and MLW and NWA and all these other smaller companies as being beneath him for sure. And only doing like select indies that are willing to pay a shit ton of money per date. I could see that. I don't know him personally. I don't know a lot about him. I get the vibe that he's not going to come down on price and work everywhere like Drew McIntyre did when he got released. I think that he might be the type of guy that just kind of hold out and take select dates here and there. I could see that happening. So that's where I'm like, I'm predicting it's not going to happen, but I think that, I think TNA could use some help with the company. So
I had to fix my light. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's cool. So that's kind of where I'm at on that.
No, I think TNA is his best bet because like they do have the relationship with WWE, which makes them more copacetic with what I think he wants. So I think he feels he's a WWE superstar. Like, I think that he was too cool for AEW. I don't see the NWA or MLW matching what he wants, but also brother got to work. Like, what else is he going to do? Like, unless he saved his money, and I'm not sure that he has, like, I think
him and his wife can just play video games on the internet. Cause I think that's what they do.
I mean, sure, I guess.
Did you see Zelina got all mad at Sean for reporting that she'd been released? Because she was like, I didn't have the opportunity to announce it myself. So like,
who? I get so tired of these fucking so titled pro wrestlers that think the media needs to kowtow to them. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. What a dummy. Like, she's the one that got fired before and said unionized. They brought her back and all of a sudden she doesn't want a union.
Yeah, real quick. I don't want no union. Yeah, okay. Capitalism.
All right. Kairi Sane is very interesting. She's on her way back to Japan as we speak. There is currently a movement for WWE to bring her back in, kind of like what happened with R-Truth. And a lot of people want her back, but you know, she left that company once before and went back to Japan. And then she went like on her own. She left. They brought her back and you know, maybe the second run wasn't the same and they went ahead and cut her loose. But she was in the middle of this big storyline where they're going to, you know, feud her with Asuka. And they just kind of dumped the storyline all together and fired her.
This is
AEW should, right? I mean,
I don't know if AEW should, but I think Tony and Bushiroad should get together and do a dual contract thing with her. Yeah. Let her stay in Japan, become a fixture in stardom. Because I think they could probably use her. She's a star. Like, she's a massive star. And then you just bring her in occasionally, right? For big shows and stuff like that, because she'd be a draw. Like, you put her and Monet on, like, Forbidden Door.
For sure.
Right? Or her and Tony when, Tony gives, when the little juice pops. Like, I think there's some money to be made with them. But I think she's someone that would do well as an attraction. Right?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't catch the line like when you said it, and then I caught it like 30, like 5 seconds later. I was like, oh, damn it, you got me. You snuck that one in there.
Do we stop to pretend like that's not really what's going on? Or are we still like, oh, everyone's got to be all cloak and dagger with it? Okay,
we're gonna be cloak and dagger. I think it's funner that way, actually.
Yeah, so do I, to be honest.
Chat, let us know if you think Kyrie's saying if TNA should, or not TNA, but AEW should. Okay, TNA should, they can't, so they're not going to. Get that out of the way.
She's hard to work with. Like, I think she kind of wants to be home too, because she was on the she got released and her ass was on the first flight back to Tokyo. Like, she bounced. She's like, all right, fuck y'all. And she was gone. So like I said, the best case scenario is Tony and Bushi Road get together and they do something with her in Stardom where she can come here on occasion.
Right. Tripping on Tang. Is that what that says? Is trip on Tang. Okay. Brother, I'm sorry. I can't pronounce that. I would like to see Kyrie back in Stardom or freelance. I don't see Marigold happening unless she wants to work for free. Marigold is hurting bad. Well, we need to get Scotty in on that conversation because I can't confirm that's the case.
I have heard that. We should get Scotty. We haven't talked to Scotty in a long time.
Yeah. I need to just reach out to him and just do something with him. It's like, what's the state of Joshi going on, Scotty? Apparently, she's super loyal to Rossi. Might do Marigold, but not sure if she'd go back to Stardom. Most people are like, they have certain loyalties, and we're going to talk about that soon. But I really don't know the dynamics there. So
loyalty is overrated when they come to Japanese business. Like, people say, I'm loyalty to Rossi too. But I mean, like, oh, we love Rossi. You know what they love more than loyalty? Money. Yeah. Like, let's be realistic. Like, you know what? If, and I have heard this, Marigold is struggling. Like, I'm sure they'll try to offer Kyrie something because they need a draw. But like, I could see her going, I would rather go back to Stardom where there's some money to be made.
Yeah. Because Stardom just had one of the biggest, like, all female shows ever over the weekend, which I need to check that out. I haven't watched a Stardom show in forever, but every time I ever watch Stardom, it's always really good.
Good show. Yeah. I don't watch Joshi, but I hear good things about it.
Yeah. Hold on. So somebody's arguing with me in the chat. We gotta, me and this guy are gonna fight.
I'm shocked to hear that shot.
I usually agree with you, Mike, but no on Aleister Black. Yeah, look, I get that opinion. I watched TNA last Thursday and I came on the air on Friday night and I was yawning through my review of the show. I was almost like JD, like falling asleep. Like, that's how bad. Like,
hey, I haven't done that since we moved our time. So I used to do the show at 1 a.m. our time. Cut me some slack.
But this was like 10:30 p.m. and I'm like yawning. So it was pretty bad. Like, and the show's not even like, it's not like bad. It's just not great either. And like, so, a lot of times it's just uninteresting. So I just, I was like, man, like, they need to do something for this brand. And like, a free agent haul might be what they need, but I think they need to just have a new creative team. Tommy Sleepy Boy is struggling with his creative ideas, unfortunately. So
Tommy Dreamin'
for some creative ideas. But all right, let's get back to the list here. The Wyatt Six.
Stupid gimmick. I don't care if it's disrespectful to the memory of Bray Wyatt or not. It's a stupid gimmick that nobody knew what to do. They're great for an entrance. People go, ooh, look how spooky it is. And then how do you book them? How do you book these people? They're just like horror movie characters. It doesn't work in reality. You want to talk about something that belongs in TNA? There you go, Mike.
First of all, that's offensive. I don't put that on me. I don't need that.
I was going for offensive, so
Well played. I think the TNA's producer Eric Tompkins is salivating over the idea of having the Wyatt Six in his company because he's like, he just took like Tessa Blanchard and Rosemary and Allie and all these other ladies to a haunted house in like a haunted house amusement place in New Orleans, and they filmed like 6 weeks worth of skits there. and honestly, some of the haunted house stuff actually looked pretty good. The audio was not great, but the actual look of it looked pretty good. And I was like, oh man, this guy is like loving life. And sure enough, he's got like pictures of him in the haunted house with Abyss and pictures of him with like Rosemary. I could only imagine like what he would want to do if you got in the Wyatt Six. The problem is the IP. You'd have to like I think the Wyatt name is kind of what did it. You know, could they bring in a couple of those guys? Sam Shaw, Dexter Lumis was there before, and you know, he has a connection with Indy Hartwell. I could see them wanting to do that comedy thing with him. People are trying to sell me on Joe Gacy. I'll be honest, JD, I ain't never seen a Joe Gacy match in my life.
Joe Gacy's got background going back to like
CZW, right?
Yeah, CZW. Thank you. Yeah. Promotion. Yeah, Joe Gacy can actually go. Like Joe Gacy, and Nikki Cross can actually work. Like those, they're pretty good. I would be surprised if Nikki Cross didn't go back home. That's my
opinion. Yeah, she's probably going back home. But the Joe Gacy, you know, he's got friends in AEW. MJF vouched for him. I'm sure he's friends with Moxley still. Mm-hmm. Big old but Fed Pill Joe said Joe Gacy would be perfect in TNA. He's got a Sammy Callahan type vibe to him.
He's not as fat as Sammy. He's a better athlete than Sammy Callahan is. Like, if I'm Joe Gacy, I want to get as far away from this spooky shit as possible.
Yeah,
and do my own thing, because he's the only one of them that I truly think can actually go. Like. Yeah. Because what do you do? The Wyndham Six, and you're basing this whole roster on something that happened somewhere else. Like even for TNA, I find that to be Bush League.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they bring in the group as a whole. I think they might bring in one or two guys, and I think if they did bring anybody in, it would be Sam Shaw, who has history there. TNA has like footage on him already. He was the Gut Check winner. The guy's just got the history. He's got the history with Indy Hartwell. I could see them wanting to do that. And Joe Gacy would be the other guy because he can work on his own. And they just lost Mance Warner, and he could kind of fill that slot.
I could see Sam Shaw because he's also a Billy guy. Remember, Sam Shaw was in Nick Aldis's corner at the first call-in because Billy. Billy likes Sam Shaw a lot. So I could see Sam Shaw getting a major run in the NWA, quite frankly. Because he's got a little bit of name recognition. He's got Billy Corgan in his corner, and they'll do some stupid shit. Like, I could see that. Now, I think Wyndham,
Bo Dallas.
What's his real name? I forget what his real name is. The other Rotunda brother.
Yeah, not Mike, but he's Taylor Rotunda.
Taylor, there you go. Taylor
Rotunda. Yeah, I think he's retired.
I do, too. He has never been quite as successful as his brother. The Bo Dallas gimmick initially was kind of fun for what it was, but it kind of petered out. The fact that he ever held the NXT title is mind-boggling because, I mean, he's had a career there a long time, mainly because his last name is Rotunda and he's got the bloodline. Yeah. But, like, he takes more after Mike than he does after Barry, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, we got a couple supers. Let's hit some supers. Chad Schultz. Hey, Chad, I love you, buddy. Don't do super chats anymore. You're a Patreon subscriber. You're already paying for this. Yeah, that makes me feel uncomfortable. But they said, appreciate the show. Matt Taven over Aleister Black. I have been an advocate of Matt Taven in TNA. I'm surprised they haven't brought him in already.
Me too.
And maybe they're just waiting to find out what's going on with Mike Bennett. Because I don't know that they didn't get released at the same time. So maybe they're waiting for that to shake out, but I'm shocked that he's not already there. So I like him a lot.
If I'm TNA, I bring the Kingdom in the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like Maria Kanellis was just backstage recently. Like, I think she's trying to like land a producer gig there. So
her best work was in TNA and New Japan, but like her best foreign work was in TNA.
TNA when they were doing the miracle stuff thought that her stuff in New Japan with Carl
was great.
That
was awesome. That was Kingdom. It was Taven, Bennett, and Maria. So I think the three of them worked together. I thought AEW fucked up not putting her with the two of them. I think that really hurts the act of the Kingdom not having Maria with them. Even she's got to be in her early 40s by now, but I mean she still looks pretty good. So I'd say
she can still cut a promo.
She's a great personality.
Glassdoor Gamer, Mike, you're getting Aleister and Russo in TNA.
Busy, man. Russo's championshitting.
Yeah. He's got the JCW thing going on, and he's interviewing Tony Khan.
Russo's drinking his Faygo, giving Tony Khan lessons on their show. Like, Russo's having a second. Like, Russo's actually doing great. I'm happy for Vince Russo because it keeps him away from wrestling I care about.
I keep meaning to, like, you know, we should watch and review a JCW show. It's free on YouTube.
We really should. That should be our next Patreon. Let's do that.
Tony Khan happens to, he's legitimately a fan of the show.
Yeah, well, he's a fan of Mike Gilbert. I don't know if he's a fan of our show, but he's a fan of you.
No, he's a fan of JCW.
Oh, like, that show.
Tony
Khan is a fan of Mike Gilbert.
Let's see. Okay, let's get on. They got a guy on that show called Cocaine.
It's God.
And he does cocaine in the middle of the match and heats up. I have to see it. It's it's so ridiculous. But
Juggalos,
it's perfect. It's perfect for Juggalos. Okay. Motor City Machine Guns. I did a whole thing on them on Friday night where I was saying that yes, TNA should, but no, TNA cannot.
Correct.
Because Tony Khan's not going to allow it to happen. TNA knows that. They actually talked to Fightful and said, we would love to have them, but they're going to AEW.
I'm sure. Dude, you can blame Tony all you want, but I know for a fucking fact that Matthew and Nicholas were literally on the phone with their buddies. Like half the Young Bucks shtick is stolen, one from the Hardys, two from the Guns.
Yeah.
They use two spots and do the hand point thing. Like, they love the Motor City Machine Guns. I love the Motor City Machine Guns. I would love to see them in AEW. Like tomorrow. Yeah.
Because they went over whenever TNA and AEW were working together. They did the one match at All Out or All In, whichever show it was.
It was in Chicago.
Where they teamed up with Jay Lethal against FTR. Who was FTR's partner? I can't remember.
I don't remember. But they took the place because the story was that Tony couldn't get the Briscoes because this is before Jay had passed, and WBD just wouldn't forgive Jay for being stupid when he was younger.
Yeah.
And so we wound up getting the Motor City Machine Guns for a pay-per-view cycle, which was great.
Yeah.
The match wasn't
anything special. And they weren't really being treated special, and they were trying to bring him in as heels, which doesn't work. So it was, the whole thing was weird. I'd like to see them get a proper run there.
I agree. I'm sure Tony and them agree. I'm sure Tony was just bringing them in on the hope of, hey, we'll do this. You can work for us now. We'll try to warm it up and just using them. Right.
Yeah.
And now that they're available, and I don't blame them for wanting to go to WWE. I think it'd be cool if the Guns could be a tag team that's won tag belts at WWE, TNA, and AEW. There's only, who else is on that? The Hardys, and that's it.
That's it. Did Hardys win the AEW titles?
Maybe they.
I don't think they did. Yeah,
I think you're right. So that would be great.
They did.
If the Guns could be the only team that does that, I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think it'd be fantastic too. And then, you know, with them, who's their mentor? Who's their coach? It's Scott D'Amore. Mm-hmm. And this would give them an opportunity to work there with him. Cause I think it was probably Scott that got them into WWE. And it's probably Scott that's going to get them into AEW, especially now that they're in a partnership, the two promotions, and they can work Maple Leaf Pro as often as they want. They'll probably be main fixtures there, be the Canadian heavyweight tag team champions or whatever. And
if that's a retirement run for the Guns, I think that'd be great.
Yeah. So the reason why I just wanted to see what they could do in WWE. I didn't have high hopes, but I was like, but you know what? Those guys deserve the big payday. They deserve the big notoriety, get a little bit of run. They had the tag titles. And then I was thinking that what they would do is parlay their run into coaching and producing careers. Cause Alex Shelley is a famous coach for wrestlers. He's always in the ring early and on TV days and running people through drills and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then Saban, famously for years, was a producer in Ring of Honor and TNA. So that's what I was like, oh, this is smart for them. But it just didn't work out.
I thought the same thing. I thought they both had jobs in NXT forever after this.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. So it's their losses, in my opinion, AEW's game, because AEW should move them right in. They should be producing matches or coaching, whatever they call it, in AEW for the tag division in AEW. Because I mean, I want to see the Guns in FTR in a real match. I want to see the Guns and the Bucks. I want to see the Guns and the Rascals, right?
Yes.
Again, yeah. Give me all that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Santos Escobar. He's currently injured, but he's got the tricep injury. That was a weird one, man. He re-signed. Weird. He got a bump in pay. He held out to the last minute. They brought him back in, and then he got hurt, and now he's just gone. It's weird, but the guy is in his 40s now. I think he had a chance to go to AEW whenever he was in negotiations, but it didn't work out. I just don't know what happens with him.
I don't either. That's a weird case because they tried so hard to keep him away from AEW. He's a guy that Tony typically likes, and now you. But Similar to what I said to Kyrie saying, I think he's a guy that could do some business in CMLL. I think if you brought him in and did a run with Mystico, did stuff with Mascara Dorada down there and Hechicero, I think he could be interesting. And I think maybe another dual contract situation where you pay the guy just so we can come in and do some shots, you know, either as whatever. What was his gimmick? Phantasma? I forget what they called
Phantasma.
No, he held the Phantasma. Like, that's a AAA gimmick. So I don't think you could do it
He can't, but I don't know who owns the rights to Lucha Underground, which rumor has it was making a comeback, but I think they're just releasing their stuff on YouTube. But they did, like, their Twitter activity has been weird lately. But he was King Cuerno in Lucha Underground.
Like, I know, like, that and Prince Puma, those were all, like, Robert Rodriguez creations.
Yeah.
And the rest, it was made up, the rest of it was filled with AAA. So I'm sure you could do something with the guy. You know, and they'll know who he is in Mexico. And I think that in Mexico, he could do some good business, like I said, with their top guys there. And you bring him in occasionally here. So he had that boo-boo face, though, having to work AAA shows, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And that's probably why they moved on from him. Because I watched that match, like his last match where he got hurt. And going into the match, he had the boo-boo face. He just did not want to be there. So I think he wanted to re-sign and become... I think he saw himself as becoming a big star in the WWE, and it just never worked out. I think because he speaks English, I think he could go into TNA and be their champion, like, right away. Or he can go in there and work with, like, at that level with Mustafa Ali, because TNA is dying for a luchador, but Tommy Dreamer does not know how to book people that don't speak English. He just doesn't understand. He just can't do it. Like, he had Laredo Kid for years and just couldn't do a goddamn thing with him. Couldn't do anything with Taurus. Now, Taurus currently not doing a whole lot in AEW either, but
isn't he with Mercedes? Like, he's doing okay on that front. Like, the AEW contract has worked out okay for him.
Yeah.
He's a lawyer. They haven't done much with the B Mortos in a while now that you say that. No.
Yeah. They should. Glassor Gamer hit us up with the two more super chats. Says, I'm glad people don't blame me for anything. We're going to get to the Triple H story. Don't you worry. We're just running long on our free agency thing. But we will give you 50K and coupons to Arby's, Carlos Silva. I don't think they're giving 50K to anybody.
50K? Yeah. Where are you getting that money from?
Yeah. All right, let's keep the ball rolling. We got a few more to get through. Nikki Cross, like, I agree with you. I think she's just heading back home. She might be.
Is she still married to Damo? Is that still a thing?
She is, and he just signed with MLW. So I think if she goes anywhere, it might be MLW. Okay. Yeah.
But MLW isn't, like, real. Like, you go there, work one weekend every couple months, and then you do your thing.
Yeah, that's true. Zoe Stark, she's really good, she did just blow out her knee. So that I don't know what happens with her.
I think if you're Tony Khan, you bring her in to do a Ring of Honor shot, and you see what. You kick the tires and see what she can do. And I think if you're Carlos Silva, you bring her in too, because you need someone in that division that could actually work.
Yeah. Yeah. So with her and then with Alba Fire, for sure, either company, you know, NWA, MLW, anybody that can get their hands on Zoe Stark and Alba Fire should at least kick the tires on them and see what they got. Apollo Crews, a former UHA Nation. I mean, I think AEW is probably going to want him. I know for a fact TNA is going to want him because he's got the connection there with Moose. I know Moose has probably already made phone calls to Carlos Silva and Tommy Dreamer to bring him in, and so he's going to have opportunities. I just don't know. When he got signed, I thought he was going to be a huge star, and it never clicked for him. But he had a 10-year run, man.
He was there for a decade. UHA Nation is really good. He's still really good. Personality stuff he always kind of struggled with. You know, doesn't have a big bold personality. He's a guy that I would bring in, and then he's a good utility player. Maybe he's a tag team guy, you know, somewhere. I just don't, he's good. He's unfortunately that, you know, solid hand kind of guy. He's just can't cut a promo.
Yeah. Moose and Ricochet friends with Apollo. Yeah. They have like a whole clique that they run with. So, all right. Andre Chase. I don't know much about him. I know that he was over for a little bit.
He was over for a minute. He's got a good personality, solid worker. I don't know. I could see him showing up on Ring of Honor. I could see him showing up in MLW. You know, does Billy want him? I don't know. I don't think there's gonna be a big rush to sign.
Probably not a big market. He's probably going to be one of those guys that's going to have to just go and redefine himself in the Indies. Yeah.
Open a school.
I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole on these developmental releases from LFG and NXT. The only one that I really am interested in is Tyra Mae Steele. Because she's an Olympic gold medalist and she loves pro wrestling. She doesn't appear to be a pain in the ass. No, that was the knock on Gable Steveson when he was there, was just kind of like, not really into it. It doesn't appear that she's that way. So I'm curious what happens with her. She's, because of her background, I think it's somebody that anybody should be taking a flyer on.
I think anyone's got to take a flyer. All I could fear, because she's got a big personality. I remember when she won that gold medal and they were like, oh, WWE is going to sign her, because she was like so emotional when talking. And I don't know if it's the case that she can't act, because some people can have big bull. Like I always said, Brad Armstrong behind the scenes was a big personality. But the second the red light went on, it just all went away. So I haven't watched any of the LFG. Is that the name of the show?
Yeah. Me either. So I just go back to the way that they did things in the 80s and the 90s. If they wouldn't put people in positions to fail.
Yeah.
Right. It just seemed like if they had certain weaknesses, they would play to their strengths and then shore up the weaknesses as they went along. Right. And like, that's why they would send them to the different territories and things like that. If he can't act, don't make her an actress. Let her go in there and be a wrestler. While she develops a character. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But unfortunately, that's just, we're getting to the spot now where we don't tailor anything. And they tried to tailor it to Gable, but Gable, and I went on Garrett's show immediately in 2021 when Gable signed after the Olympics, and I said, I don't think this is going to work. Because right. I know it. I know everyone around it. I know that whole situation. I said, I don't think it's going to work. And it didn't work. With her, I'm more surprised. I thought she would fit in better. And the fact that they cut, because I mean, it does work. Like, G'Angelo Hancock, what they call him, Octavian Heights, is having a pretty decent little run there in NXT.
He looks good.
He's good athlete. He's
great. Impressive.
It's unfortunate because he was our best Greco wrestler in the US. And then he went to NXT. So, I mean, like, that's a problem with the US Greco program. Honestly, if I was giving her advice, if she really wants to be a pro wrestler, she should go to Japan.
Yes. Yeah. I would call up Parker Boudreaux and ask because he's actively getting better as we speak. And the guy is posting videos like every day about all the work he's doing in Japan. And the guy looks like he's going to be back in the States at some point, and he actually might do something. Right.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He unfortunate part of Parker's, he looked too much like Brock Lesnar, young, not to get attention. And he got too much attention well before he was ready. So good for him. If she wants, now that's the thing, is does she really want to be a pro wrestler? I don't know. This is going to be a moment where, because I think the game has passed her. I could see Bischoff and Izzy giving her a nice check to come bounce over to RAF. I could see
Dana wanting to bring her in too to the UFC.
I don't know if she wants to fight, but I mean,
she's a special breed, but
it does. She's going to be in a spot right now where she can take her pick. Cause I don't know if she can jump back into the amateur ranks. She's been there, gone for too long. There's more money in amateur wrestling than there's ever been, but 5 years away from the game hurts you. So I don't foresee that being a thing, but all right, on the RAF thing, I could see them cutting some nice checks for her to do that. If she wants to be a pro wrestler, she's got to get to stardom.
Yeah. I completely agree. Glasser having neck pain, call chiropractor Marina Shafir. Yeah. I don't know what that meant.
So, I get it. I was traveling last weekend, so I missed Collision and Dynamite.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, so Triple H, it was announced, has signed a new deal with TKO with WWE. He's going to – a lot of people were calling for his head, given all the stuff that's going on with the WWE and some of the bad creative, the bad TV, some of the angles not playing out the way people thought, and then, of course, all the releases. Well, Nick Khan did a conference call and basically said, not only do we love him, we just re-signed him to a multiple-year deal. So despite some of the complaints of the many, he is sticking around for the long haul. And I know that upsets our buddy Jacob on X. He was wanting the memes of Triple H getting fired.
No, here's the thing, though. Triple H, there's an illusion that Triple H has power in WWE. Yeah. Like he really, like he's doing some of the lower level stuff, but I mean, reality, he's doing what TKO wants.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. He gets to be their face, their Dana White. And he's not nearly as smooth as Dana White, which is why they can't have the fake press conference anymore, because he crumbles whenever anybody asks him a real question, because he's remarkably insecure. They have a guy they can point to when things go wrong. Right. Yep. There's value in that. There's value in having the enemy, right? Where the fans go, it's his fault. It's his fault. And they stay off Ari, right? And Nick Khan. Right. And people are like, well, this clearly, like these releases, it's just like Vince. It's clearly a TKO decision. Hunter had nothing to do with this. And like, you know, they come on and says, yeah, he made the calls too. Like, are we gonna say that like all these people are in the middle of storylines? Like this, you watch that show, the storylines really matter that much in that company? Mm-hmm. Like,
no, they for sure told him, like, hey, we gotta cut X amount from the budget. Who are you willing to let go of? And he submitted the names. Like, you're not cutting those people without talking to him. Like, he's going to agree to those things. Now, he doesn't have a ton of power. So when I was a senior non-commissioned officer in the Air Force, what I always told people is, like, I don't have any power here. I have influence. I can influence decisions. I can talk to the bosses because I can get into those rooms. But what I don't have is power, right? The power lies with the officers that are in charge. The commanders, right? I'm not a commander. I'm a senior NCO. At times I was a senior enlisted leader. At times I was a first sergeant. Other times I'm just a regular flight chief. But I always had some type of influence over the decision making because I got myself into those rooms. And that's Triple H. He is a middle manager. he is an important guy for sure. But he's not as important as Ari and Nick and Mark Shapiro and all those cats. Those are the ones with the real power.
No, we have to get out of this idea. Like when Vince was booking or when Eric was booking WCW or Tony, an AEW guy who with the booking power has the ultimate power in the company. That's just not true.
Yeah.
Right. That's not him. He's middle management. Right. Yeah. It's all he is. He's middle management Paul. You know, he's going to be, he'll be telling, you know, Otis and them what to do. But I mean, like Roman and Paul are booking their stuff. Paul Heyman are booking their stuff. Bill's kind of doing his own thing. Cody's booking his own stuff again. You know what I'm saying? Like he has like authority, but he's not Vince. We have to get this out of his head that Triple H has got the Vince role.
Yeah. Cause Vince answered to shareholders, but for the most part, he didn't answer to anybody. So
Vince did what the fuck he wanted when he wanted.
That's not
Triple H. You think Triple H wanted to bring Pat McAfee in to do whatever the hell that was? And even Pat McAfee said, this sucks. Like everybody involved in that was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
But Pat Paul McAfee did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was his job. He did his job.
He doesn't have, I'll tell you this right now. Triple H doesn't have the stones to look Ari Emanuel and Nick Khan in the eye and say, I'm not doing that. This is the program we're having.
Yeah.
Like he got big dog by The Rock for 2 straight years at WrestleManias. Then The Rock wasn't around. And then he got big dog again by Ari Emanuel to make even worse creative. Like he's just a guy. He's just a guy that they want you to think. They want someone you can look at, someone who loves eating up the attention, unless it's bad. Yeah. He wasn't out there this year being like, this is our moment before WrestleMania this year. He's not even going to get the reaction about it. So he hides like a coward.
Yeah. We got another super chat. Chad Schultz, I told you not to do this, Chad. But he says, I know you said not to do a super chat, but this is agreeing. The Kingdom would be perfect in TNA. Cubs are up 5-4. Well, good for the Cubs. Yeah. They need Triple H to be the scapegoat. And then here's a good question. Who the F wants Triple H's job? I don't think he has the leadership skills for that job.
No, but I think he wants it.
Yeah, I think he does too. Shawn Michaels doesn't want that job. Undertaker sure as hell doesn't want that job. Like those are the guys booking. Yeah, Bruce Pritchard doesn't want that job. He'll die.
Yes. Those guys have that job on a much, much lower scale. Triple H gets to have fun booking in Mexico, which is odd to say, but people are happy with the show, you know, and he's probably the best booker Triple A has had in a long time because they've had Conan forever. So like shows make a modicum of sense. Kudos to Mark Calloway on that one. No, man, the only one I could see Phil Brooks because he's got the ego to think he could do it.
I'm going to try to watch a little bit of Triple A just because I want to vote for Undertaker as Booker of the Year, because I know that's just going to upset so many people. Like if he gets it, it's like, the MAGA guy booking Mexican wrestling, Booker of the Year. he's got white luchadors.
Hilarious. It would be the end of wrestling as we know it, and I think I know.
Yeah, that would Heat Is On says that AAA is a fun show. I hear that it's a really good show, actually. A lot of people like that show that watch it. Yeah. So
it was a mess. I mean, AAA was a mess before WWE came along. It's weird to say that WWE actually did improve something, but AAA was a disaster for the last couple of years. So the fact that they cleaned it up is good for them. They're doing great with it.
Yeah. All right, a couple more chats, and then we're gonna send it home with one last topic. But let's see, Shane McMahon would want that job. Shane McMahon would want that job. Shane McMahon is not qualified for that job. He has tried several times, and it never works out for him.
If Shane McMahon had the talent to have that job, he would have had it a long time ago.
His dad picked his little sister over him, and then picked his son-in-law over his own son. Like, that's how bad he is at that job. So. The only person that who can do the job is Heyman, and he doesn't want that job. Yeah, he doesn't want that job.
I don't even think Heyman can do it anymore, man. I'm so tired of these voices from the 90s having this. It's been 30 years. Is there anybody new? Is there any new voices that have something new to say in pro wrestling? I guess Tony. Yeah. But I mean, like, even him pissed me off a lot of time. Like, we need new people coming along. Like, I want somebody different, personally.
Yeah. We need some fresh blood. Okay, so you're off Twitter, so you missed this whole deal. So I've got to back brief you on what's going on. So there's a big debate happening because Hulk Hogan's documentary.
How's my Twitter account doing? Is it doing anything lately?
Let me see. I can go to my chats here. It's a Caroline Levitt tribute account, like the White House press secretary. Hold on. I think that's what they switched it to. Hold on. What is my damn passcode? Okay, there it is. Every time I try to get into my chats on my computer, I have to put in a passcode. It's so weird. Probably because of you. We're getting hacked.
Sorry.
Yeah, but I can look that up here in a sec. But all right. So on April 26th, last week the Hogan documentary on Netflix came out.
Heard it was
so naturally. Naturally, people want to talk about Hulk Hogan's status among the most important pro wrestlers in all of history. The people that grew up watching Hulk Hogan, they're going to say he's the most important, right? And WWE, of course, and Triple H said in that show that, hey, you know, we don't have this company right now if it wasn't for him. So, you know, we're going to do this tribute for him, right? So that's kind of where all this is coming from. So Steve Kim, who is a boxing guy, he's a pretty famous boxing reporter. Posted, he said that the most important and biggest pro wrestler ever credited him with expanding the business in the 80s. And then Dave Meltzer replied, there were several wrestlers more important, but I think he'd be in the top six. And he said that, and people lost their freaking minds.
No, he said that. Is Dave talking in history or just the 80s?
In history. In the 80s, he's one for sure, but he's talking about, like, in history, said he'd be in the top six.
I don't think that's right.
No, it's not wrong at all. The reply exploded, drew thousands of quotes, replies, and reposts. And Meltzer argued for 2 days on Twitter, of course. Dave. Right? Yeah. So the next day, so a lot of people just started posting different videos and arguments. And essentially, there's a list out, and people are arguing the list. A lot of people want Hogan at the top, but here's the top six list. It's Frank Gotch. Right.
Yeah.
Ricky Dozan.
Okay.
Antonio Inoki.
Okay.
Okay. Then you got Jim Londis.
Yeah.
El Santo.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. What's the problem?
The problem is that people want. I saw somebody on Twitter say no one's heard of Jim Londis, but everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is.
See, That's because you're stupid. Jim Londis was a massive draw in the war era, right? In the 30s and 40s. It was all about Jim Londis. Jim Londis sold 100,000, like Jim Londis packed arenas across the globe, right?
Yes.
Stadiums. Frank Gotch. We don't have professional wrestling as we know it in America if it's not for the Gotch Hackenschmidt feud. God, I got to get on that. Plug in that later. We don't have wrestling without it. Ricky Dozan has the biggest television ratings of any wrestler ever because it was in Japan post-war, right? Antonio Inoki revolutionized that business, made it massive in Japan, and was the first true crossover star between the two continents, right? Yeah. these are massive, massive stars. Like, people can get mad at Dave for all I want, but you're just showing your lack of understanding of the business. Now, Hulk Hogan's the biggest star. I'm surprised Gorgeous George isn't on that list, to be quite honest with you. I think Dave fucked up by not putting Gorgeous George on the list. Because Gorgeous George pushed TV. Gorgeous George is the biggest star of TV in the 50s.
Yeah, right? He did. It just, the run was so short and he flamed out. The TV run was short, and then it died after that, and then it wasn't on TV for a long time. It was in territories, it was, but it wasn't on national TV until WTBS comes out.
But then, at the same time, that stuff doesn't happen in the 80s. It's not for what happened in the 50s. Gorgeous George and DuPont proved, God damn it, that this could be done. I don't think Hulk Hogan and all that stuff gets its shot if the baby boomers who were in charge in the 80s didn't grow up seeing Gorgeous George as children. George should be on that list, to be quite honest.
I think so too. I don't know if I'd put George above Hulk though.
I don't know if I put him above Hulk. I put him in top six though.
Because Hulk was a legitimate worldwide star. He just wasn't as big a worldwide star as Jim Londos was, because Jim Londos had sellouts in so many more countries than Hulk did.
Well, the problem is like the people who watch Jim Londos have been dead for a long time, so they can't really speak to that. And the same with Frank Gotch. People are like, who the hell's Frank Gotch? Like, excuse me, without Frank Gotch, we don't have professional wrestling in the United States. Like, he was the first American superstar, Frank Gotch. Like, you don't understand what you're talking about. And that's the problem with Twitter. That's the problem with the digital revolution. It gives everyone a voice, but not everybody deserves a voice. Like, Dave's right. The problem is Dave picks fights he doesn't have to have.
And then Matt Farmer got in on it because Raj Geary, I got to say this for Raj. He was actively trying to learn. Because he's the one that like named off five of those guys or four of the people, and like he actually asked like, okay, these four, and he named off Santo, Ricky Dozen, and Inoki, and Gotch. He's like, who else would be bigger than Hulk? And then I said Jim Londos, and he's like, oh, good shout. And then he was like, but Hulk did revolutionize wrestling and made it bigger in the 80s. And Matt Farmer then replied, he's like, actually, he made one company bigger. But by the end of the 80s, there were actually way less wrestling fans going to wrestling shows because there was only one company on a national scene. But you had all these different territories that were on and drawing big TV ratings in their territories and drawing big houses in their territories. When the WWF come to town, those houses were not the same, right? They were drawing less. And so, like, the ticket buying audience actually went down when the WWF took over nationally. But he did absolutely make WWF bigger than any other company ever, for sure.
Absolutely,
a money generating machine that's still running to this day that everybody likes to copy with the different merchandise and all the stuff that's going on. Like, yeah, for sure, like a big national expansion. But wrestling as a whole went down whenever Hulk got into it.
People don't like to hear that argument, but it's true. Because like Triple H goes, wrestling was a thing that used to go on in bars like before we came along. I mean, that's the narrative that Vince has been selling since 1995. Like, that's true. Like, World Class was doing great business. Like, in the 80s, World Class did its best business. Dusty was doing amazing business for Crockett. Like, Vern was still doing good numbers in the AWA. Like, in the early to mid-80s, business across the country was booming. And the reason was because of Ted Turner and cable television, which is why I say Ted Turner belongs in the Observer Hall of Fame. And I will fight this till my dying breath.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have this big thing without WTBS, but that's another argument. No, I mean, I don't think Dave is wrong, but I think you're arguing anthropology with people who don't. My dad always said you can't argue anthropology with natives. And like, it used to make me laugh when he said that, but there's a lot of truth to it. You can't talk about things with people who don't understand what you're talking about.
Right.
Is
they like, they only understand the WWE version of history.
I'm gonna close on this. Mike, are you familiar with Plato's Allegory of the Cave?
I've heard you say this before, but say it again.
Okay. I don't think I've done this since we've gotten onto Voices Wrestling. Plato tells the story of the Allegory of the Cave, where three men grow up their whole lives in a cave, basically chained to a wall, and they only watch the shadows on this wall, cast by the fire behind him. That is their existence. That is life. That is everything they know are these shadows. Well, one day a guy's chains come loose and he's able to escape his seat. And he turns around for the first time and he sees this big fire. And he's like, oh, that's where the shadows come from. And then he sees the cave opening and he's like, what is that? So this man braves past the fire, walks out of the cave and goes to Athens and sees Athens and what it's like and learns that everything that he believed to be true is not real, right? He had a completely earth-shattering experience, like a reality-changing experience. So of course, when he spends the day in Athens, learns what the world is really like, he runs back to the cave and he unhooks his friends and he tells them what he saw behind the cave, and they murdered him. They called him a liar and a heretic, and they sat right back down and looked at the shadows. The moral of that story is people are comfortable with the reality of which they are presented. Very few people want their expectations or want their reality challenged, and they will fight to keep an uncomfortable, a comfortable lie than face an uncomfortable truth.
JD, when I was a kid, I believed that this wrestler was the greatest wrestler of all time, right? A wrestler that my grandparents told me was the greatest wrestler of all time. And I was unwilling to challenge their ideology until I was like 12. Mm-hmm. Their wrestler was Haystacks Calhoun. They told me that he's the greatest wrestler that they had ever seen, right? And he was probably one of the worst wrestlers. But they loved him. He was big, for whatever reason, he was big in the Central Valley of California.
Dude, that's how it went though back then. Yeah. My dad grew up watching Vern Gagne. My dad was like the biggest wrestling star in the world is Vern Gagne. And he because he came up, my dad was 10 years old when Vern spun out the AWA, right? And that was what was Chicago television at the time. So in my dad's mind, he's like, oh yeah, Vern Gagne, so is your Oval. You know, he was the spokesperson for Ovaltine, you know? So I mean, that's just, you accept the reality of which you are presented, which is pro wrestling to a fucking T.
Yeah. So needless to say, is Hulk Hogan is one of the most important figures in the history of wrestling. That's inarguable. It's indisputable. Mm-hmm. He's just not the most important. Wrestling has been around for a long time.
For a generation.
For the '80s, for sure. Definitely the biggest draw, the biggest American star, 100%. The most important wrestler in the history of the WWE.
Absolutely.
It's him and Steve Austin, right? Mm-hmm. And Bruno. Him, Bruno, and Steve Austin. And Steve Austin rescued the company from actually going under because they were getting trounced by Hulk Hogan in WCW, right? And Steve Austin came in and was able to get the thing back. Steve and Vince, obviously. But, there's lots of important people. To say that someone's not the number one is not, you know, insulting in any way whatsoever. But
there is no number one. It's like things have, like, Babe Ruth is like the most legendary baseball player ever, but you can't tell me the guys who came after him weren't better than him. You know what I'm saying?
No. Well, and plus Babe Ruth, he didn't play against black people. Like,
that's true.
Yeah. So like, trust me, I think he's a legend and a hero and one of the greatest to ever live for sure. But the game was different then. Mm-hmm. Like, you only allowed certain people in. Could Bob Gibson fucking throwing heaters down him? Would that have changed things for Babe? I don't, probably.
Satchel Paige. there was good Negro pitchers. Josh Gibbs. I can't remember his name.
Gibson. Josh Gibson.
There you go. Was the Babe Ruth of the Negro Leagues. Like, who was the better hitter? Like, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, Babe Ruth gets the legendary status, you know, and then you had, of course, DiMaggio and Mantle. And like, you know, there's always a generation has the guy who's the greatest, you know, and that's Hogan for us 80s kids.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Everybody go check out the Hogan doc though. Some of it was bullshit, but, some of it was like emotional, but man, I was pretty upset that they didn't cover the Macho Man stuff.
That's a crying shame.
Yeah, they had 4 hours and they didn't really touch on his relationship with Macho Man. Brooke Hogan really wasn't featured in it. She wasn't in the documentary at all. And so that was a bit disappointing.
She's persona non grata with the estate, so I'm not terribly surprised. Yeah. But this is why documentaries are all, this is from a guy who got his degree in documentary filmmaking. Documentaries are all bullshit.
Yeah. But I mean, they're entertainment and I thought it was entertaining for the most part. But all right, guys, that's going to do it for us this time on the Mike and JD show. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Ain't made no rain from the
is just starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game.
I'm good. Live numbers for.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.